Let us pray. Gentle God, the darkness draws in around us, in our hearts, in our communities, in the nation, in the world. There is mistrust and fear and despair. There is hurt and injustice. Yet you promise your light. You promise you are coming. Ready our hearts, God, for your coming. Help us to see the signs of hope. Help us to see the coming of Christ. Amen. An Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of God's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Holy One, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Holy One shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of life. A New Testament reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. You know what time it is, how it is now, the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in intemperance and self-indulgence, not in excess and licentiousness, not in quarreling and bitterness. Instead, let go of all your self-centered desires and clothe yourselves with our Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 24th chapter. In this chapter, Jesus was talking about the end of the age. He talked about the destruction of the temple, the erection of the desolating sacrilege in a sacred place, the abuse by the emperor of their power, the persecution of his followers, signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, the sun is darkened, the coming of the human one on the clouds to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. And then he said, "But about the day and the hour of these things, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven, nor Christ, but only God. The coming of the human one will be just as it was in the days of Noah. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the very day Noah entered the ark. Before the flood, no one saw it coming until the flood swept them away. That's what it will be like with the coming of the promised one. Two will be working in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding grain. One will be taken, one will be left. So keep awake, because you do not know on what day your Savior is coming. Think of this. If the owners of the house had known exactly when in the night the thief was going to come, they would have stayed awake and kept their house from being broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Beloved is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's the first Sunday of Advent, so we want to hear scriptures about the little baby Jesus coming. We don't want to hear scriptures about the end of the world. That's not very encouraging. But every year, the first Sunday in Advent, we get all of these scriptures about the end of the age. But you know what? Honestly, I've been thinking more about the end of the age lately than I have, maybe ever in my life. For instance, scientists tell us that the maximum concentration of carbon in the atmosphere that will sustain human existence is about 350 parts per million. Recently, we just topped out over 400. Unless we do something radical, fast, this is not just a metaphor. When Jesus talks about the end of the age, it literally means the extinction of human beings. Yeah, so I'm thinking about the end of the age. If you're thinking about the lasting durability of some of our institutions, if you're thinking about nuclear war or terrorism, you might be thinking about the end of the age. It turns out that this language is not exactly seasonally inappropriate. The promise of Christmas that we're waiting for is that God comes to us in the darkness. And those images that come from the Bible of the end of the age mostly come from this apocalyptic way of thinking, in which, in fact, this is the darkness. The age to come is the dawning of day. It's the new good time. And it's this age now of darkness that's coming to an end. And the good news of Christmas is that God comes in our darkness, not just to help us endure the darkness, but to transform the darkness with light. So if that's the news of Christmas that we're waiting for, then the news of Advent is that we should watch for that. That's what we're waiting for. Now, I think when Jesus says to keep awake, when Paul says it's time to wake up, put on the armor of light, when Isaiah says to walk in the light of the Lord, part of what it means to be awake is to be paying attention. So, for instance, there are scientists who are paying attention to global climate change. There are other people who are rolling their eyes and thinking it's a fantasy. They're not paying attention. So part of what Jesus and the prophets are asking us to do is to pay attention to what's going on in the world. But I think they're asking for something deeper. During Advent, we're really waiting for Jesus in three dimensions all at once. That's what you'd expect from people who believe in the Holy Trinity, right? We're partly waiting with Joseph and Mary, along with all of those characters, for the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago. We're walking through that story with them. We're also waiting for what God is going to do in human history. We're also waiting right here in our own hearts for the birth of Jesus in our hearts. Jesus and the prophets aren't just asking us to pay attention to what's going on in the world. They're specifically inviting us to pay attention to what God is doing in the world. And it's pretty hard to discern what God might be doing when you look at world events, because they're so complex. But the invitation is also to pay attention to what God is doing in your soul, because that's how God changes the world. God doesn't just sit off at a distance and wave a magic wand and make things happen. God sends loving people into the world who change it. And that's what happens. So our work in Advent is to watch and to be awake and to pay attention for signs of what God is doing in our hearts. Advent is a time when we move from despair to hope. And so we look for signs of hope. And the miracle is that we can actually be signs of hope because God is doing something in you right now. Think of the Christmas story and how God had to have each one of those people play a part in the story. God said to Mary, I need for you to do something for me, okay? God said to Joseph, I need for you to be a certain kind of person. Said to the Magi, you need to go on a certain kind of journey. I need for you to do this. Even the shepherds, God said, I need you to be a part of this, to tell the story. Now, it might be something as obvious and dramatic as having a baby. All Mary had to do is take a pregnancy test, and there it was. It might be really clear if you're lucky like Joseph and you have a dream and God tells you. But it probably won't be. That's why we have 4 weeks in Advent to pay attention, to be awake, to watch in the darkness for what God is doing in your soul. It might not become evident right away. It might not become evident ever. It might be that what God is doing in your soul is not anything that you ever get to see. You just have to trust that God is doing something. When my sister had cancer, she said to the doctor, I don't want to hear your diagnosis. That's your job. My job is to be alive. So that's what she did. She just was alive. She just lived and listened to the voices of life in her and lived that life. It turns out that more was going on inside her than she knew. It was only after the doctor said, you are free of cancer, that her husband said to her, now I can tell you that what the doctor told me when you were diagnosed was that you had 3 months to live. That's not what she needed to know. What she needed to know was what God was doing in her. And that's how she lived. You don't need to know the mysteries of what God is doing in you as long as you are watching for signs and open to the mystery that God is doing something in your soul. So during this Advent season, we will keep vigil, like those people whose house might be broken into and they have no idea when the thief is coming. So they're awake and they're ready because the beloved is coming at an unexpected hour. So I'm going to keep vigil. I'm going to begin every day during this Advent season as a part of my prayer time to just sit and wonder what God is doing in my soul. What is coming that I don't see yet? Just give a little time to being open to that. And I invite you to join me in that pilgrimage. I'm going to send out a pastor's reflection. And in it, if you want, you can respond and you'll get a little daily email or a text or something. Just a little blurb, a little scripture, a little thought, a little reminder to wonder. And those of us who are doing it will all be praying together that same wonder of what God is doing in our souls. What light is dawning? What life is being called forth? You might get a glimpse. You might not. The sign of hope that you might experience is simply that you're open and that there are others who are praying for you while we're doing that. But this we trust, that God gives us signs of hope. And one of them is ourselves and what God is doing in us. As surely as God was doing something in Mary, God is doing something in you. The night is almost gone. The day is near. So we walk in the light. We'll start that right now. Of course, as I almost always do, I put it backwards in the bulletin. So we'll sing first. And then we'll enter into some Advent silence to simply be present with that wondering, waiting for how Christ will come in our hearts, waiting for what God is doing in your heart, even now that you can't see. We'll ask Jesus to help us to keep awake and to wait.
Child of hope, prophet spoke of you. Visions treasured but unfulfilled shall our dreams come true. Help us wait for you. Child of woman, O child of God, bring us birth anew. Make a room, O make a room in our hearts for you. Help us wait for you. So child of pain, suffering ills we do. Recreate, give, and help us be gentle child like you. Help us wait for you. Child of wonder, O child of joy, you make all things new. Recreate us, come again, like the morning dew. Help us wait for you.
Gracious God, we give thanks. The night is far gone. Day is near. Open our hearts to what you are doing in our souls. Help us to wait for you. God of grace. We give you thanks for the mystery of your coming. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Help us, God, to walk in the light. Amen.